This Bible reading comes from Paul's letter to the Christians in the church at Colossae. And he writes, "Now I rejoice." That's a good opening line, isn't it? "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh in what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor," says Paul, "struggling with all his energy, which is so powerfully works in me." May God bless and speak to us through his word this morning. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because we have the scriptures. We have ready access to the scriptures. And not only can we read the words, but your Spirit teaches us and reveals to us its truths day by day, so that we can achieve that goal which Paul had, that we might all become mature followers of Jesus. We thank you this morning for those who through the centuries have guaranteed that we could have this access to your word. People have given their lives for that, Lord, for our privilege. And there are those in our world today who still are faced with that same option. If they want to share your word, it is at the cost of their own lives. We thank you for their faithfulness, and we thank you because your power is at work in their lives, just as it was for Paul, and just as it was for us. And so as we have met here this morning, we pray that we will be open to what your power would do in our hearts and lives. We want to be the best. We want to attain that full maturity in Christ that you have set for us. And so we come with that desire and ask that you will meet that need within our hearts and lives. And for those of our congregation who aren't with us today, we sense that your Spirit is near to them just where they are. And we ask that they will know that closeness, that comfort, that strength which comes from Jesus in all of our lives. We who are the church, your body, your people. Bless us today and in all the days which continue after today. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
So we're going to have a chat in the chapel now. And as the light spins around the studio audience, today we're going to talk to Steve Pitts. Come on, Steve. Please make Steve welcome as he makes his way up to the stage. Steve's a fisherman. That's why we've got this sitting here. Because as we're looking through, come on, Steve, I'll give you a microphone. There you go. We'll sit down in a second. Actually, we'll sit down there. Have a seat. Have a seat. Would you like a drink? Let's see what we've got. Have a look. See what's in there. Oh, good choice. I'll go with the water. Very nice. So we're continuing our sermon series at the moment. Have you got a witness? And today Karen will be talking to us about Peter, the humble witness. And one thing that Peter was known for was the fact that he was a fisherman. And I think that Fishing might be your thing as well. Is that right? We got the shirt for it.
I love fishing. It's my second favourite thing to do after breathing.
After breathing and then fishing. Yeah, very good. So, I think you might. Can I just have a quick look at that? I think it's on. Yeah, very good. Just to hold it nice and close to your mouth, Steve, when you talk. I know you're a little bit trepidatious. Is that a good word? A little bit worried. But we're friends here, aren't we? Yeah, and if you don't know much about Steve, you'll know a bit more about him before the end. So we're just going to, like, there's nothing hard. You know all the answers already.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing. So just nice and close to your mouth. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Very good. Now, Steve, can you tell us a little bit about you and where you're from and your family and that sort of thing? Just a bit about your background.
I grew up as a Salvation Army. And when I left my... When I started to grow up, all my family sort of went the other way. And I've come back to it through my niece Hannah and my wife Janine. I had an abusive childhood, and that's my escape was fishing. And that's why I do it now through the church the release that I used to get, I give to those kids. Hopefully they'll get the same release.
So you love fishing. Now, you tell me a story a while back about a time when you were between jobs and you spent every day for an entire year fishing. Is that right? Every single day?
Yes.
How did you manage it?
Easy.
So, because I can't say it's my thing. Hands up if you're a fisherman, if you love putting that, a handful. Because you're like, the ocean's just there, but not everybody, it's not for everyone. But for you, as you say, breathing, then fishing.
Yep.
I mean, breathing is important.
Yes.
But fishing, it's right up there.
It's the way I relax.
So have you got, out of all those experiences, have you got one of those fishing stories? You know, the one that got away or was this big?
I've got millions, but my wife wants me to tell one that happened not long ago. We're fishing down Kawana Lake at night. And usually these stories don't include her. She doesn't come a lot of the times, but she was there tonight, this night. And we're fishing down. I just put a rod down. And I was going to my second rod, and she started screaming at my name. I turned around, and my rod's in the air, and flying off into the water. And yeah, whatever it was big, and never saw that rod again.
I'm imagining you've got a few rods, though.
I've got a couple.
How many do you have?
Not including the ones for kids fishing, I've got 15.
All right, serious fisherman. Now, you say kids fishing, family pathways fishing. How did you get involved with that?
Well, Hannah was doing, I think it's called Pathways or something for the kids, and she got introduced to the person who was there before Beck, Richard, no?
Yeah, it was Beck before Calvin?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were doing the fishing, and they asked if I'd like to help. And just went from there, and I've been doing it nearly 3 years, I think.
So once a fortnight, you rock up with a whole stack of rods and some bait and some skills.
Yep.
And then someone else cooks the sausage.
Yep, someone does the sausages, I do the seafood.
I think Richard was helping out with that for many years, but he's had to give that away because he's been called to higher things. So we just want to celebrate Richard as well for all the effort that he's put in with that. So tell me why you do it. Why do you come once a fortnight and help people put some bait in the water?
Well, it's two reasons. One, like I said, it's to give back to the kids. And two, it's another chance for me. When I fish, all the worries of the world are gone. It's me and a fishing rod. And that's what I want to pass to kids. And I just love doing it. That's something I really, really like doing.
It is a great space because it's not just about the fish. 3 years, how many fish have you actually, not you personally, but the group caught?
We've actually caught a fair few, a lot of tiny ones. But we also caught a lot of big ones and a lot of first time. That's the best thing. When you're fishing there, there's one little girl that I remember. They're from an Italian family and she caught her first fish and I thought she was going to run away with it and just show everyone. It was awesome. And I've had kids who like taking them home and their mothers don't like it so much and have them for tea. And we've caught a fair few.
Now, one week when I wasn't there, Karen told me that she actually caught a fish. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Two fish.
Two,
were they worth keeping? Because I never saw any evidence. No, okay, maybe not.
Karen didn't want to touch them.
So tell me, why do you come here to church on a Sunday? Because I think, not to grab your story from you, but the Tuesday night meal, that connection space, and then you decided to come along to church. Why did you start coming along to church?
I miss it from my childhood, and it's a time to reconnect with the Lord, and it's sort of like recharge myself, you know, makes the rest of the week feel a lot better. Yeah. And I feel like a better person for it.
Yeah. And that's why you're here today?
Yes.
That's why you're here today. Very good. Well, thanks for sharing with us, Steve. Really appreciate that. Do you like this background that's been looping? Do you feel like you're at the beach? Do you feel like you're fishing?
No bait.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it does feel like you're just throwing the line in to feed the fish, but it'll be interesting to see how Karen connects what it means to be a fisherman with Peter and being a witness for the Lord. So we look forward to that later on. I'm going to pray with you now, if that's okay, Steve.
Yes.
And then we might, after we've done that, we might just sing Rejoice, Rejoice again as we go. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Steve. I thank you for the fact that you have called him back. That as a child, he connected with you, then maybe things got in the way and things, other priorities came in. But Lord, you have called him and Janine and his whole family back to you. We thank you for that. We thank you that he's has been obedient to that, that he's listened to you, Holy Spirit, and you're slowly making a way in his life. You're using his skills to help others, and that he has a refreshment in his soul. How good is that, Lord? We all want that. We all want a refreshment of our soul. So Lord, I pray that you bless him today. Thank you for his word. Pray that he feels encouraged and built up, and that he feels that this is a place where he can love and serve you in the ways that you've gifted him. And we pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to join me in thanking Steve this morning, and then we'll sing as we leave.
Drinking the esky for me. Thanks, Tim. Now, I am not a fisherman, although Steve can tell you I have caught a fish. The first fish, I've only caught two fish that I can recall in my life, both of those at family fishing, so it's good family fishing. But we do say it's not about the fish. It's about so much more, and it has been a great opportunity. So, let me tell you about my nephew Riley. He's nearly 20, and he is one of these obsessed fishermen, absolutely obsessed. From a very young age, he would tell you all about fish, everything about the type of rod or the type of bait or what you needed or how big a fish needed to be to keep it. You know, all those kind of things? Yeah. I don't really care. It's not that I don't care, but it's not my thing. But on the two occasions where I've caught a fish, I have been quite excited for Steve to take the fish off the rod and put it back. I caught a Moses perch. And is Frank here today? Frank was telling me all about a Moses perch. and how God put his thumb right in the middle of the fish and he's got a little mark there. Is that right, Steve? Must be right, it's a fisherman's story. It's got to be true. Anyway, Riley, at 7 years of age, he was fishing at Pottsville. My brother and his wife had a van down at Pottsville. Who knows Pottsville? On the northern New South Wales coast. They loved it. We used to often go down and have a holiday with them. Now, this one day, he was fishing, as is his wont, and he sat down next to a man, an older man, who'd been sitting there for ages with his rod out. Riley casts out his line, and within seconds, catches a fish. Draws in his line, and the guy went, "Beginner's luck," at him. So Riley, I think he caught that fish, put it in his little, I've got no terminology, in the bucket thing, caught the fish, took it off the line, cast his rod out a second time, and catches an even bigger fish. At this, the man started mumbling under his breath and swearing and getting quite annoyed at this little boy who pulled up beside him and caught two fish in the space of minutes. So he glared at Riley and shook his head, and Riley said, "Maybe you'd like to change your bait to this man." The man left. He packed up and he left, and I'm guessing he wasn't overly impressed with this child, either that or with his own lack of success. But our witness today, as we've said, is not Riley, it's not Steve, it's not me, it's about Simon Peter. And we have called him the humbled witness. Simon was what he called himself. Peter is what Jesus called him when he changed his name. So today I'm going to try and stick to the name Simon Peter, just to be clear. And this biblical account comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to read it to you now from the Passion Translation, and you can follow along on the screen. On one occasion, Jesus was preaching to a crowd on the shore of Lake Galilee. A vast multitude of people was pushing to get close to Jesus to hear the word of God. He noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge, with the fishermen nearby rinsing their nets. Jesus climbed into the boat belonging to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Let me use your boat. Push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowd." Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished, he said to Peter, "Simon Peter, now row out to deep water to cast your nets and you will have a great catch." "Master," he replied, "we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and let down our nets because of your word." When they pulled up their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish, and their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt at Jesus' feet and he begged him, "Go away from me, Master, for I am a sinful man." Simon Peter and the other fishermen, including his fishing partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were awestruck over the miracle catch of fish. Jesus answered, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men for salvation." And after pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything behind and followed Jesus. It's a familiar story, isn't it? It's a good Sunday school story that probably many of us have heard many times. Simon Peter is not necessarily the prime candidate for a teacher like Jesus to come and choose to follow him, to be his disciple. He's a regular kind of guy. He's a fisherman. And we don't know if there's anything particularly striking or remarkable about him in his personality or his appearance. Not at this point in the gospel anyway. We do know a lot about Peter as we read through the rest of the New Testament. We know he's written letters. And so there's a lot more to find out. But right now, we're not getting that far ahead of ourselves. We do know this. He's had a bad night. It's been a long and an unproductive night. Anybody here had a long, unproductive stint of fishing, sat out all night and not caught anything? Yeah, there's a few people. And I know Yvonne is an absolutely mad fisherman as well. So So sitting there, having experienced no catch, frustrating. So if you're a recreational fisherman, that would be disappointing, I'd say. But this is Simon Peter's occupation. This is what he does for a living. I said to Tim, this is what he does for a crust. But couldn't really make it a crust. This is what he does for a fish. This is what he does to put his fish on the table at night. And after this disappointing night, can you picture Simon Peter? He's cleaning up his nets, he's packing up. Maybe he's hoping to have a rest, a bit of shut-eye, before he has to go and do the same thing all over again. I can picture his strong fisherman shoulders just weary and drooping, stooped in this kind of beaten manner. But here he was on the shore when along comes Jesus. And I really love this. It just so happens that he's there on the shore, providentially, the right place at the right time. We read that Jesus was preaching to a crowd and that a vast multitude of people had gathered there. They were starting to surge, trying to get close enough to hear him. They were eager to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, Tim talked to us last week from Luke chapter 4, and in that chapter, we read that Jesus had been travelling around and he'd been preaching in the synagogues throughout the land. In verse 44, we read that he'd been all over the place, but earlier in 22 and in 32, we read that he was developing this reputation of being a great teacher and someone who showed a great amount of authority. He spoke with gracious words. Verse 22, it says, the people were in awe of the beautiful words of grace that came from his lips. So it's not surprising at all that this crowd had gathered. But here it is in this setting that Jesus makes his first request of Simon Peter. And he says to him, let me use your boat. I don't know if that's a real biggie, is it? Let me use your boat. He doesn't say, Simon Peter, give me your boat. He doesn't say, Simon Peter, come and sit and listen to me while I talk to the people. He just asks if he would allow him the use of the boat. The boat's not being used for anything right now, is it? He's finished his fishing, it's sitting there. Jesus asks, can I use it? But he continues, push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowd. One little step, then one step more. And once more, Peter responds. Firstly, he allows this man, this teacher, Jesus, access to his boat. And secondly, he pushes that boat out just a little bit deeper to allow the crowd to hear him. He goes that little bit deeper. Now, we don't get a whole lot of description here. It's not about what is said, but we read next that Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. He taught and he taught, and I imagine he kept on teaching until he'd said everything that he wanted to say. So Simon Peter accepts this request from Jesus to use the boat. Then he accepts Jesus' request to let him go a little bit deeper. And he must have accepted the fact that Jesus had something that was worthwhile to say. He had something that people wanted to hear. And Simon Peter accepts that. One step at a time, getting deeper and deeper, closer and closer, for Simon Peter to this moment where his life is going to be changed forever. We get to the second part of this verse, verse 4, where Jesus the carpenter, Jesus the man who's been teaching the people, he now takes on the role of fishing advisor. And you might have seen who this man is. You know who this is?
Yep.
Rex Hunt. Now, I don't know anything about fishing, but I know Rex Hunt because I've watched TV and those boating and fishing shows. Rex Hunt is the man who knows about fish. Is that not right?
Yep.
This book says Rex's favourite fishing spots and how to fish them all around Australia. So if you need to know something, you go to Rex Hunt. But here is Jesus. He's not a man who knows all about fish, according to Simon Peter. He hasn't written any books about where to catch the fish, but here he is telling Simon Peter exactly what to do. He says to Simon Peter, row out a little deeper. That makes sense to me. The fish going to be a little bit deeper? Is that not a thing that makes sense? I know that when the kids cast their lines, sometimes they go about from here to Tim. And then they come and they learn how to cast their lines, and sometimes they'll give the line to Frank or to Les or to Steve, and they'll have this massive cast, and the kids are always awestruck at how far it goes. So Simon Peter, Jesus says to him, row out a little bit deeper. The second part, cast your nets. Makes sense? I've got a net, cast it. And the third thing Jesus says to him is, you'll have a great catch. Now at this point, Simon Peter has to really make a decision. He has to think twice about this and consider how he's going to respond. This man, this teacher, this carpenter, Jesus, is telling him what he needs to do to go fishing. Simon Peter's response starts with this. He says, Master. Some of the versions of the Bible say, Lord. In doing this and saying this, he acknowledges this man is something significant. He has something special about him. This man has some sway. We've seen the crowds gather. Peter can see that, but still he knows he's not a fisherman. So he puts a little argument out. This emphasis is mine. It's not written like that. We've just come back from fishing all night. Come on, Simon. You just imagine Simon going, oh, come on. We've just been out fishing. We've been out all night. We caught nothing. I imagine he might have thought, I know more about fishing than you, Jesus. I already know. Here's the clincher. He said, we didn't catch a thing. But he says this, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. We will go out again, Simon says, even if it's not my idea of how to do things. We'll give it another go, even if I don't think it'll work. Why? Because you say so. Now that is really a massive step. Simon Peter's taking these little steps, get in the boat, push the boat out, listen, go out a bit deeper. This is a massive step. Because you say so, I'll do it. Simon Peter is obedient, and what he sees is nothing short of a miracle. This passage is often called the miraculous catch, the big catch, the miraculous catch. And here's why it's so miraculous. Firstly, there's an abundant number of fish, more fish than they could imagine. So many fish, in fact, that the boats start to sink. Secondly, the fish came at an unexpected time. This is not the time to go fishing. We've been out in the middle of the night. Here you are. There's all these people around. This is not the right time to go fishing. The third thing, they'd already tried. We've already done it. We failed the first time. We were unsuccessful. So why should it be any different? But it happened. And they're the things that makes this so miraculous. When Simon Peter experiences this miracle firsthand, he falls down at Jesus' feet. Now, this is from the series, The Chosen. This is the actor that plays Simon Peter. And if you get an opportunity to watch this particular episode with the catching of the fish and Simon Peter coming to Jesus, it's very, I don't know, it really gets you. It's a beautiful scene. So here he comes, Simon Peter falls at the feet of Jesus. He's witnessed this amazing sign and he's in this lowly, humbled position. He bows, or he actually falls down at the feet of Jesus. So not only is his physical stance a humble thing, but his words acknowledge that he is unworthy. Depart from me. Go away from me. You can't be here with me. Simon Peter knows that he is a sinful man. He knows that he has a need for the Saviour. And it's in this state, his sinful state, that Jesus calls him and that Jesus accepts him. And for us, that is so true. If we can't acknowledge that we are sinful and that we're in this fallen state, we fail to see the need for a Saviour. And how can we respond to a call from Jesus? But just as I am accepted. I am loved and I'm welcomed by Jesus. And just as you are, right as you are accepted. You are loved and you're welcomed. In verse 10, Jesus not only accepts Simon Peter, but he gives him a new purpose, a new start, a new plan for his life. He says, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be frightened about this. From now on, you will catch men for salvation." The word for catching men that Luke uses, because Luke's written this gospel, he uses a word that is Greek, and it's a compound word, two words together. The word is, my Greek is no good, zugrio. It comes from two words, zeus, living, and agrio. You'll have to take my Anglo version, as to catch. So zugrio is a unique word that means to catch alive. Now, as I've said, I'm not a fisherman, but I imagine that the ideal outcome from fishing is to take home a fish to eat. Is that not why, well, other than relaxing, you go fishing, you want a fish, you want to take it home and eat. That comes at a great cost to the fish. The fish has to give its life. The fish dies. But this is a different kind of fishing. This is a different experience. The call from Jesus to Simon Peter to come and catch men is all about life. The fish, these fish that Simon's going to catch, are needing rescuing. They're to have a new life and a fresh start. They're not going to be eaten for dinner. These fish, these humans, whom Jesus calls to be in a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, they're to experience a new life, a new kind of life, to know hope and to know fellowship together with others who have also been rescued. And that's why we gather together like this. That's why we meet through the week. That's why we catch up with people. Because we're all people who've been caught. We're all people that have been rescued from sin, from death, and we're delivered into this new life. Simon Peter, the humble witness, humbled himself step by step. He came closer and closer. He got deeper and deeper until he surrendered his whole life. He gave himself to Jesus. Do you know this saying, hook, line, and sinker? It means totally, completely. Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. Hook, line, and sinker in a relationship. Yeah, I love him. Hook, line, and sinker. It's the whole lot. It's everything. And it means in such a way for Simon Peter that he became totally all given to Jesus. He became one of his dearest disciples, and he loved Jesus hook, line, and sinker. So from the start of giving Jesus just the use of his boat, to pushing out deeper, to rowing out, to casting his net, he followed Jesus' instructions. He returned to shore with this miraculous catch. He returned to a new life, and he was caught now by Jesus, as we said, hook, line, and sinker. But my question is, what about you today? Have you been hooked? How tight is the line? Do you need a sinker to get some real depth, to go a bit deeper? Consider that question. Has God got you hook, line, and sinker? But today, not only has God called you to be his, completely, totally, but he's also asking you to join him in being a fisherman, in catching others, rescuing those who are perishing in a sinful life without God. So today I want to give you a two-part challenge to consider. Are you fully surrendered to him? Are you in hook, line, and sinker? And secondly, who is Jesus calling you to seek out today? Is there someone in your family or a friend, someone that you know that really need Jesus? So I want to ask you to pray for God to lead you in a way that shows you where you should cast your line. Where does he want you to be fishing? So it starts with you and I, and I want us to reflect now on our surrender, our own surrender to Jesus. We are going to sing a song, and it reminds us of that surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Maybe you need to just pray those words, sing them. Maybe you need to come and pray with God and ask him. Ask his Holy Spirit to speak to you as we sing. All to Jesus I surrender. Every tiny little bit. Hook, line and sinker. They're not the lyrics. But that's what we need to be thinking today. All to Jesus, I want to surrender my all, every bit of me. So I invite you to just pray, to think about that. Ask God that question. Where do I need to be fishing? Where do I need to cast my line? What do you want for me? As we sing this song together, I invite you to remain seated and join us.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Second verse, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Simon Peter humbled himself, humbly he bowed at Jesus' feet. Worldly pleasures, everything else all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. We sing the words to verse 3 together, thanks.
All to Jesus I surrender, may
again.
I surrender all.
God, today in this place, we surrender our all. Lord, speak into our hearts. Help it sink in deeper what we've heard. Lord, guide us where you want us to be, where you want us to cast our nets. And Lord, just continue to speak to us as we go throughout this day. Lord, thank you for everyone who's here. Thank you for our families and those we love. Thank you for the privilege we have of gathering together in this way. And as we go, Lord, as we go, pray that your spirit will stay, will fall fresh on us, will guide us and direct us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain seated. You may sit if you like to sit. We're going to have a benediction. A few weeks ago, Neil and Sharon played this video. So just have a seat and enjoy this song. It's a beautiful song, and a lot of people said, oh, I really love that. Just felt like I could soak it up. So take this last song as a benediction this morning before we go to morning tea, or if you're having a quick morning tea and coming back for open doors, we'd love to have you join us then. So receive this blessing, this benediction today.
You peace, may his love shine down, and meet your every need, and keep your feet from stumbling, and fix your eyes on the mark. On the prize, as you go, may you rest in Christ. Receive his grace to love all men, in spite of all our differences, may your word filled with light that crumble walls of fear and pride. Take up the cross to serve the least and the lost. As you go, be the hands of God. As a spirit.